I'm going to take you through a number of scriptures today, but we'll start with Exodus 24:17. Those of you that were here last week know that our message last week was, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory." This week I want to talk to you about the relationship between reverence, the fear of the Lord, and glory. Between reverence, the fear of the Lord. Most people don't know what the fear of the Lord is. A lot of people are afraid God's not going to take them to heaven. If you're born again, you don't have to ask that question anymore. How many born again people here? See the hands of the born again? You're going to heaven. Praise God forevermore. You get to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to wonder. You know, I talk to people from time to time. I was dealing with a lady the other day, an elderly lady, and talking with her, and she says, "Well, sometimes I'm just not sure if I'm good enough." And I said, "Well, let me settle it for you right now. You're not. You're not good enough to go to heaven. But God loved you so much that Jesus died for your sins. He took your sins in His own body on the tree. Because He loved you so much, and by doing that, He made you, not through what you do, but through His love, good enough. And if God says you're good enough, you're good enough. You're good enough." So we don't fear God about, is He going to send us to hell? He's not going to send me to hell. Say, He's not going to send me to hell. He's taking me to heaven. I belong to Him. He's my Savior. That'll never change. He's mine forever. We're talking about glory. First, I want to show you some historical again. Just run through them quickly. Exodus 24:17. This is when the children of Israel had come to the mountain. And it said, "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." Wow. Now after this happened, it's a good thing they saw the glory. It says all the people saw the glory. All the people got to see the glory of God. All 2.5 to 3 million people in the wilderness saw the glory of God. They saw it. But you know what? It didn't change them all. God's plan for His glory is that it's going to change you. They saw it. In fact, if you get right down to it, they were seeing it when the cloud was up every day. They'd see the pillar of smoke. That was the glory of the Lord. Every night when they'd see the pillar of fire at night, that was the glory of the Lord. They were seeing it, but it wasn't having the effect it should. And even Moses knew it. And so when Moses is up in the mount receiving the Torah from God, he's up there for 40 days. And God tells him at the end of the 40, "Go down. Get down quick." And when they get down, Joshua says, "Wait a second, sounds like war down here." Moses said, "No, that's not war. That's a loud party. And it's not a God party." And he got down and he found a calf. And Moses took the Torah, the precious Torah from God, took the tablets and he threw them down and he shattered them. He took the golden calf and he ground it into dust and threw it on the water and made the people drink it. They'd seen the glory, but what did it do? They just went right back to their old ways. And you know what it was? It was impatience. Moses was gone too long. How many of you have been waiting for something for a while? How many of you have ever had that temptation? "I've been waiting so long that you didn't start talking like Cherie says you shouldn't talk," right? You start saying wrong things. I hear people all the time saying things just like this old lady said to me the other day. "I don't know if I'm good enough." Been hearing the word for years and then turn around and pick up some religious lie of the devil. You know, religion comes from the devil. I hear people that have been confessing the word for a long time, then all of a sudden go back and say, "Well, I guess it's not working." Somebody praying for someone that's sick, and they have a downturn. You know, you're going to see downturns when you pray for people. Sometimes you're going to see things happen that, it looks just like the opposite thing that you prayed for is happening. Now that's a test for you. You can stop right then and say, oh my, I thought, why isn't it working? Well, let me tell you something. You've never been in faith if you can talk like that. To be in faith means to stand firm, to stand right up to the very end. And by the way, when you're praying for someone, it's not just you that matters. Their will matters too. Did you know that? When you pray for someone, their will matters. So sometimes, you know, when you don't see things happen and you say, I've been standing in faith and I don't understand it, they didn't get healed. How many of you have had that happen? How many of you have seen people not get healed and, you know, you maybe stop for a while and say, what in the world is going on? I don't quite understand it. Because I knew I was believing, but you didn't know what was going on inside them. We've seen a lot of lovely Christian people die. Good people. But you didn't know what was going on inside of them. It wasn't God that killed them. It was just exactly what Cherie said. And you know, you hear it all the time. We say one thing and then we do another. What was it that the psalmist said? He said, I just don't like it when people waver. What was it that James said? When you waver, what are you like? You're like a wave of the sea. And he says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. You can't waver. Got to say the same. Problem with Christians a lot of times is we want just enough Christianity to get us to heaven. And we don't want anything else to be interfering in our lives. That's true, isn't it? I don't want God to mess with my schedule. I'll give him a few minutes on Sunday. But really, you know, I'm not so concerned about all this other stuff that people are getting into. You know, I don't know if I want to get in as deep as Cherie does there. I mean, man, do you realize that the Holy Spirit had to talk to her for a while to give her that? And I don't know if you recognized it or not, but that was prophetic. Did you recognize that as prophetic? That's from the Holy Spirit. What she said, I was astounded as I sat there and listened and just thought that was given to her just the same way God gives Scripture to the people of old. That's the way she received that. God spoke it to her. And He spoke it in such a way that you might not hear it because she didn't get up here and say, Thus saith the Lord. And use King James English all the way throughout. It was a modern translation, praise God, and it was good. Powerful, but it was all solidly Word of God. Praise God. And so, you know, we as believers too many times just hear the Word and we like what we hear. But I'll tell you what, it's got to make a change. Did you know faith is not just a believing? That's the way the Greco-Roman mindset goes. So much of what we believe it comes from our Greco-Roman mindset. And that means, if you really get right down to it, came right out of the Roman church. You all know what the Roman church is. And we got all of these so-called churches that are Protestant that have pulled away from the Roman church, but we still accept her holidays, we still accept her dates, and we still accept a whole lot of her garbage that she's given us. No. In fact, even the design of churches in general came right out of pagan temples. Did you know that? If you look at the modern day churches that we have around, I'm talking about Protestant, Catholic, it doesn't make any difference, they look like pagan temples because that's what they were designed after. There were certain places that only priests could go in those churches. Did you know that? I don't know if you noticed today, but the little children get up on the platform here. That's okay, isn't it? We believe that. They belong here. They belong here, and you belong here. There's not places that are hidden. This is a meeting hall. Praise God. It's not a place to put dead bones. But the glory of the Lord is risen. So what do? We accept things. We just accept things that have been given to us. And one of them was what it means to have faith. And the word that came out to have faith in the Greco-Roman mindset was believe. Well, it's not a bad word. It's a good word. But believing has to be more than mental. And see, the Jews understood this. In fact, the word for faith in Hebrew is emunah. And emunah doesn't mean what we think faith means. Emunah means to be firm and to be steady. See, that's what faith does. Faith will make you steady. It'll make you consistent. Did you know consistency is the key? You can say good things for 25 years and then turn around and say one bad thing, and you can tear up a bunch of good seeds you've sown for a long time. You know that, don't you? We need to learn to be consistent. Our confession needs to be consistent. What we believe needs to be consistent. And so when we're dealing with this glory of God, it's an easy thing to come and get inspired by a sermon and say, oh yeah, that's good. That glory stuff, that would be good stuff. I'd like that. But you know what? I'm looking for the time to start coming out of this where the glory is going to start being talked back at me all the time. Everybody I talk to is going to talk to me about the glory and the expectancy they have to see the power and the presence of God. Yeah, I'm just a little bit tired of religious things and just things that just have a form. Aren't you tired of that? Just form. I don't want just form. I want reality. I want to see His face. And so the children of Israel saw a devouring fire on top of the mountain, but it didn't change them. Moses went back up on the mountain. God says, you cut out the tablets this time. You bring me the tablets. I'll write on them. So Moses cut out the tablets, took them with him. Wouldn't you like to see those tablets? You know, I wouldn't be surprised God's got them hidden someplace. He has to hide them, or the Catholics would make a church of the tablets. The Church of the Holy Tablets. So he has to hide them, just like he had to take the ark and put it way up on the mountainside so nobody can get to it. And the Ark of the Covenant's gone so nobody can find it. I believe they'll both show up eventually, don't you? I know the ark's up there. I know the Ark of the Covenant someplace. But you see, by the way, I'm not against Catholics, because we all act like them. You know, if we get into this Western mindset, that's what we act like. We act like a bunch of Catholics. We just got a little different liturgy. It's time to come out of that. Just kick it aside. Those are old sacred idols, you know. We need to kick those down. Did you ever read about the kings? The kings, he said, and he did that. I think Dan was talking to me about some king he was reading about the other day, and he said, and it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, except he didn't take down the high places. And there were king after king after king that left these high places. And as he was saying it to me, I began to work in my mind, and I thought, well, that's just like us, isn't it? We allow certain things to remain. Certain things that don't really have anything to do with the Word of God, but it's been so precious in our childhood. We had such wonderful little traditions. My family did such wonderful, fun things at that time that we hang on to those things and give them a place that's equal to the things that God says. That's not right, people. Those are high places. Cast them down. Isn't that what the Bible says? That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and taking into captivity every thought. Listen, I'm not taking your thoughts into captivity today. I'm catching mine. Amen? My thoughts, pulling them down, getting it right, so that my thought life starts to become what it's supposed to be. And I begin to think like God thinks. I begin to follow His ways. His plans and His purposes. I've said a lot, and I haven't even gotten into the message yet. But that's what we're going to do. Moses went back up on the mountain with those things, and God said, you know what, I'm not going with you. I'll just send an angel with you, and you can take the children of Israel in. And Moses said, God, listen, I'll stay in the wilderness and die here before I'll go without you. Are you willing to say that? Before I leave without you, Lord, I'll just stay in the wilderness. Before I go anyplace, I'll stay here. If you don't go with me. And he said, Lord, if you told me. He said, you said that I had found favor in your eyes. And I'm not sure now what that means. So please show me what it means that I have found favor in your eyes. And if I've really found favor in your eyes, then show me your glory. Let me see your ways. And so God manifested to Moses on the mount. He said, show me your glory, Lord. And in Exodus 34:5, it said the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name Yahweh. And Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed Yahweh, Yahweh El, Yahweh God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Now you see, you're seeing something here that you're just hearing words about, and probably if you don't meditate a little bit, these words that he's speaking to Moses are going right down into Moses. They're just, he says, show me your ways. Show me what you're like. And God describes himself in words, but the words are not just words, not just descriptives, but they become a reality in Moses as he hears them. And he begins to know what it means when God says, I'm merciful. When God says, I'm gracious. When God says, I'm slow to anger. That's what he says. I'm abundance in goodness and truth. Moses is seeing that. And this, we're looking for glory sometimes, and we're expecting to see smoke. Well, maybe you will. We're looking for glory and we want to see fire, and maybe you will. But I want to tell you that some of the greatest glory that comes is in the form of revelation. When all of a sudden there's something that you've been struggling with, and all of a sudden it just becomes reality in your life. That's the glory of God manifesting. I sense the glory and the power and the presence of God here today. I hope you do. I hope you're allowing that to come into you today, because there's something mighty that's about to happen. And I don't know when, but I know that one day we're going to see the manifestation of what God has said we will see. And I believe it'll happen right here in our midst. And I believe there'll be a time when there won't be anyone knowing what's going to happen next. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. I want to be out of the way of it, because so many of the great moves of God throughout history have been thwarted by men. Haven't you seen that? Do you remember right after the great glory presence of God when they dedicated the tabernacle? Well, let's read about it. It's right. I've got it down here. It's Leviticus 9:23. It said, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offerings and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and they fell on their faces. Now that was a tremendous move of God. I mean, there haven't been many scenes just like that. That's my amen corner back there. I need her. That's right. She just keeps me going. Praise God. Now, what happened right after this tremendous glory and this tremendous power? Who knows the next thing that happened in the sequence of events? Two guys. Yeah, Nadab. Avihu. Really pronounced Nadav and Avihu. They said, "Woo, boy, this is good, this is great." And you know what? They went and found some of their own special incense. And they brought it and offered it up before God, and it didn't even get up in the air before all of a sudden the whole thing was short-circuited. Now listen to me, that's exactly what's going on here. Some people think that God was sitting up there saying, "Well, look at those ants down there, whack," and he knocked them dead. No, he didn't do that. No. The power was present, and God had given them all kinds of insulation through His instructions to protect them from His tremendous glory. He wants us to see His glory. He wants to dwell among His people. But what did they do? They brought their strange fire. They brought their special idea. You know, if that stuff smells good, then if I add a little bit of this, it'll even smell better, right? And so they offered it up, and both of them short-circuited. It was like coming between God and a lightning bolt. And you know what? We don't do well with lightning bolts. And they died. I've said this before. I'll say it again today. I'm not sure that means they went to hell at all. They just short-circuited the power of God. God was trying to tell them, don't do this kind of thing. I'm not sure this meant they were eternally lost at all. But they did die in disobedience, didn't they? And it killed them. I mean, you know, we could do this. If I was teaching you how to be an electrician, And I was telling you, now be very, very careful always when you work with this, that you never touch this wire. And if you thought, yeah, but I kind of want to know what that one feels like too, guess what? You could curl your hair, couldn't you? Not too much. But more than Aaron could, right? Yeah, you see, there's certain things we just have to do because we're instructed to do them. And so here we find that you know, they had this wonderful move of God, but two guys, I don't know if you can see it, but man, this had to throw a blanket on the whole thing, don't you see? Here's the glory of God, and the people are on their face worshiping God and loving God, and all of a sudden, two guys are laying dead in the midst of them. It was so bad that Moses had to tell Aaron, don't even touch them. You can't do anything for them. Do not touch them, or you'll die too. Don't you see what would have happened? He was in the middle of this inauguration of this wonderful presence of God. Aaron was central in this. If he had stopped, he would have become tamei, unclean. Couldn't have done it. And so we read about these things, and we see when people mess them up. Again, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, years and years later, after the children of Israel have come into the promised land, now they're there, and David has wanted to build a tremendous house for God. Because God said, in the place where I set my name, and he finally lets them know that that place is Jerusalem, David says, well, I want to build the house of the Lord. And God said, no, David, it'll not be you, your son will do it. You've been a man of war, you've been a man that shed blood. Your son Solomon will build my temple. And so we read about it. Solomon built the temple, and in the 6th chapter of 2 Chronicles, Solomon prays a Holy Ghost prayer. Beautiful prayer. Lovely prayer. And then in the 7th chapter, in the first verse, 2 Chronicles, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. That same incident spoken of in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 11, and it says, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Back to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 3, it says, when the children of Israel... This is all the children of Israel standing around there that day again. When they saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now there have been three times. We saw Moses when he saw the glory of the Lord. It said Moses hasted and bowed down before the Lord. When the children of Israel saw the Lord in Leviticus chapter 9, after the inauguration, they shouted and fell on their faces. And here, when the temple was dedicated, it says they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord. I want to tell you that reverence is a key. Say reverence. Reverence. Somebody tell me what it means. We talk about it often.
Honor.
Honor. Respect. Adoration. It isn't depressed, is it? In fact, it's a very joyful time. And it could be what most Christians would not consider to be reverent. David danced before the Lord. He danced with all of his might. David was honored for his showing forth of his true self before God in worship. Amen? Now his wife didn't like it. Little Michal. We don't call her Michael because it'd make Michael feel bad if we called her Michael. Her name was Michal. Michal looked at him and said, well, you just might as well have made yourself naked there. You're just dancing, showing yourself off like that. God didn't like what he said at all, what she said at all, did he? Because he said, you'll never have children because of it. You're barren now. You've shut yourself up. Somebody said, God shut her womb. No, she did it. That's right. That's right. No, reverence doesn't look like what people, but it is an attitude of deep respect, isn't it? Awe. Say awe.
Awe.
Awe. Awe. Awesome. I told you one time I slipped and said the word fantastic here. And by the way, if you've got that in your vocabulary, just get rid of it. It comes from the wrong source. Phantasm. You don't want anything to do with that. Fantastic's not a good word. Just get rid of fantastic. Things aren't fantastic. They're awesome. They're good. They're awesome. Amen. We're not talking about some wicked spirit thing. It's awesome. I listen to Andrew Womack from time to time, and Andrew says, "Well, it's awesome. It's awesome." He likes it. It's awesome. The awesomeness of God. God's awesome. His power. And we're speaking of that with love. Love and awe. Tremendous respect. You guys know what it is. You'd be good at that. But you know what? We've grown up. This generation in which we live has grown up growing increasingly less respectful and less reverent. We're a kind of an irreverent group of people nowadays, aren't we? You know, I don't know if you see it or not. I know some of the old timers that used to really move in the deep moves of God. That's one of the things they would say. That there are, you know, people spoil things. I remember one of the great men, he said, "I've seen move after move thwarted because right in the middle of the move somebody would begin to clap." Nothing wrong with clapping. The Bible says clap before the Lord, you know. But you know, there's a right time and a wrong time to do things. And some people, if they don't know what else to do, then they clap. He said, "I've seen people do it by somebody thinking they have to stand up and say something. Sometimes it'll be quiet." He said, "I've seen so many." But he said, people have just generally, he says, our younger generation does not know about reverence. Reverence. Reading in the Chumash, there's a place of Scripture where God says, because you treat me casually, I'll treat you casually. Now, we don't have that in our King James English. We don't read that. But we become casual. Now, listen to me. This always comes up when I start talking about casualness. I'm not talking about the way you dress. I'm talking about your core. I say, I'm talking about your core. Are you casual toward God? Oh, don't be. Don't be casual toward Him. Let the things of God just wow you. Let the things of God just astound you. Think about Him and recognize it, that He is the Almighty God. He is the one that made heaven and earth. And more than that, He's had respect unto His people. He loves them so much that He's redeemed us. And it took the very blood of His own Son. Well, that's awesome, isn't it? That'll do it. I have reverence toward God. Now, I don't have a demonic fear. You see, there's a difference. People get into demonic fear of God. And the devil's the one that has put that into them. People say, "I fear God." Well, I'm telling you, a lot of people don't fear God. They're afraid of Him. They're afraid like they would be of a snake. And the reason is, they've read about Nadav and Abihu. They died. Well, you know, you need to keep the rules all right. You need to do what God says. You need to follow instructions. But you don't have to be afraid of Him. He loves you. If God didn't love you, He wouldn't dare say, "Come boldly before the throne of grace. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." No, God loves us. God cares for us. We need to get our core revived with reverence. Joyful reverence. We're citizens of heaven. Isn't that right? We're citizens of a new country. A country where God's king. We're not citizens of this world, really. I mean, I'm a citizen of the United States of America, but that citizenship just has to do with this season. I'm living here now, and I'm a citizen. But my citizenship's heaven. I'm a man of heaven. And I have a whole different set of things that are going on in my life. Not the citizenship of this world. We live in the last days. Say last days. How last are they? They are last. Listen, these are the last of the last days that have ever been. Just think, every second that goes on, it gets a little bit more last. Right? Every second, we're getting closer. closer, closer, closer. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. But how many of you know that God has prophesied tremendous moves of God for these last days? How many of you know that there are no prophecies that God has ever given that either haven't or will yet come true? Every prophecy of God is going to be manifest. And the greatest moves of God are yet prophesied. We've looked at several here. Those are big. I don't know about you, but I'd be happy with getting in any one of these, wouldn't you? That was great. But there's greater ones coming. Greater ones coming. Many prophecies of refreshing, of signs and wonders, of demonstrations of the Spirit, and they all have to be fulfilled before it's over with. All of them. Now, here's the key. There's going to be some believers, I'm convinced, that are going to be right in the middle of it. But I believe there's some believers that are just satisfied just to get enough Christianity to get them to heaven, preferably to get their needs met. And it would be nice to get the healing part of it too, but they don't want too much more than that. They don't want God interfering in their life. Oh, I can give you a few minutes on Sunday morning. Now, you would never say this, but it's fact. It's the way we act. I can give you a few minutes on Sunday morning, but I haven't got a whole lot of other time. There's a lot going on in my life, Lord. Dave Wilkerson said that years ago, he'd get up in the morning and he said ministry had become so important to him. He said, I'd say, I'll catch you later, Lord. And he said, off to ministry. You see what's wrong with that? And yet, don't we act that way? I've got so many things to do. So many things to do. One of the great revivalists, and I can't remember if it was Charles Spurgeon or which one, he says, when I get up in the morning, I have so much to do in the day that he says, I can't possibly get it all done unless I first spend 2 hours with my Father. Wouldn't it be something if we got that inside of us and ingrained in us to put those things first? I'm telling you, the people sit in church week after week after week. There are people sit under the teaching of God week after week, and God's calling and He's saying, are you going to stay around the edge of things or are you going to come into the middle? When that water's flowing, are you going to get out in the water that's for swimming or are you going to just wade? That's what the glory is. It's coming out. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with just church. How many of you know church without the Holy Ghost isn't much? How many of you know praying without the Holy Ghost isn't much? How many of you know Bible reading without the Holy Spirit in it doesn't amount to much? My little granddaughter came to me last Sunday and she's sitting beside me and she says, you know, sometime when I'm in church, the devil comes and he says to me, this is boring. Now you have to know her. And you know, a lot of people think that. Listen to what she said. She says, I said, oh yeah, well let me tell you something. You're boring. And isn't that really the truth? The devil is boring. What he's got is the same old, and you know what? Wages of sin are still death. And you know what? What I'm trying to tell you is when the Holy Spirit's moving, it's not boring. We got the best fun there is. I've been in some moves of God. I'll tell you what, there's never been anything like that. And I can tell you this, I'd rather be here this morning than any place. Listen, there's no sporting event that I could ever go to that would even come close to what we're doing right here. There's nothing that you can take me to or... Listen, I like food. Do you like food? Everybody like food? Well, I like food, but there's no dish you can feed me that'll fill me up like this does. You understand what I'm saying? This is what I want. People that have moved in the anointing and seen the glory. And you see the glory in so many different ways. Jesus said when he went to Lazarus' tomb, he told Martha right at the end before he called him out, he said, didn't I tell you that if you would trust and continue to trust that you would see the what? The glory of the Lord. I've seen two people raised from the dead. Two people. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't fun on the left side of that. But on the right side, it was great. But I've seen two people come back. That's glory. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like stopping and sharing the gospel with someone and having them see it and receive it. I see the glory of God in that. I was sitting in a restaurant the other day, and there was a man and his wife came in and sat down beside over near us. And when they sat down, I don't know if I could see it, but he just didn't look well. He didn't look well at all. And during the course of his eating, he began to cough, and it was a kind of a cough that you could tell he'd done it a lot, and he didn't have any power left. Didn't do anything. He just coughed. And finally, he got up and left his seat, and he left the restaurant, and he went. And the power of God began to move on me and just began to deal with me. And I wanted to just go over when he came back. I mean, in my mind, I kept thinking, well, shall I just go over there and minister to him? Because he came back and sat, and something seemed like it. And I said, Father, I need to know what you want me to do. I need to know what you want me to do. And you're going to have to make a way for me to see what's right in this. I've had this happen a number of times. Because you see, sometimes to do something, if a person is embarrassed about the encounter, they can't receive. It's hard for them to receive. And so I stopped and I waited, and finally it looked like nothing was going to happen. We walked out the door. My mother and my mother-in-law and Henrietta and I walked out the door. And as we walked out and I was getting them to the car, I turned around and they came out the door and were heading the other way. So I got them in the car and I said, give me a minute. And I walked back. And just walked back over to the car where the man was. Now, I don't want you to think that I saw tremendous things happen, but I know that I did what God told me to do, you see. And I walked up and I said, sir, would you give me a minute? And he said, sure. And I said, well, I don't do this all the time. It takes God to tell me to do it. But I said, I know God told me to come and lay my hands on you. And he right away felt like he needed to explain what was going on in there and how he'd had cancer operation and that they had operated on his throat and he had scars and everything. Well, it's fine. I was glad to hear, and that was okay. But I knew that didn't make any difference what it was, because I began to command, when I laid my hands on him, I began to command normal function back into his body. Normal function in his breathing. Normal function in his throat. And that was actually before he actually told me what was wrong. But he said, it's strange that you did that, because that's exactly what happened. They damaged nerves in there when they worked on me. So what was that? Well, that's a manifestation of the glory of God. And see, that's the kind of glory I want. I want the glory of God when I'm driving down the road in my car. We all believe it's supposed to be in church, right? So it is, too. It should be here. But I want it when I'm in my car. I want it when I stop someplace and go into a place. I want the glory and the manifestation of the Spirit in that way in me. And here's what's going to take, you see, is we've got to get my schedule out of the way and start becoming scheduled by God. You see? We've got to start letting Him show us when and where. I mean, this was just a nice morning that we started with. But you know what? I told him as I left, I said, now I want you to know something, and I want you to believe with me for it, because God would not have had me stop by here unless it was going to happen. You believe that? It's going to happen, because I went there. I know that. And I believe God told me that I'll get to see him again and talk with him some more. You know, Jesus did that all the time. We sometimes think that everything that Jesus did, he did with a lot of talking with people and dealing with people. And he didn't minister like that all the time. Sometimes he's going down the street and said lots of people came out and just wanted to touch the hem of his garment after the woman did. And I believe sometimes he'd see someone and just touch them like that as he went by. And as many as came to him, he healed them all. Now, Jesus' ministry was like that. Do you want your ministry to be like that? Will you take what goes with it? Did you know everybody didn't like Jesus? Everybody's not going to like you when you do those kinds of things either. There's going to be some people that are going to hate you just like... That's what the Bible says. He says if they hated me, they'll hate you also. But some people are going to receive, praise God, and that's what makes it worth it all. Amen. That's what makes it worth it all. That's what'll do it. You see, we need to come to the place where we realize that we're here at this time. We could have been born at any time in history. Did you ever stop and think about that? You could have been born any time. You could have been born way back in Bible times. And people say, oh, I just wish I'd have been born in Bible times. Well, you know, if you really stop and meditate and consider this clear on through, this is the best time that ever was. The apostles would love to have seen our day. Do you know that? They would, you know, the things that are going to happen right in the very near future, they would love to have seen. And we were born during this time. God put us here for this time. How many of you know what Mordecai told Esther? What was the word he said to her?
It says, you were chosen for a time such as this.
Just for a time such as this. Now, God's a respecter of persons, so he said that to Esther, but he wouldn't say that to anyone else, right? Go ahead and tell me that's wrong, Pastor. God is no respecter of persons. And so if Esther was born for a specific time and had a specific purpose, and you have come into the kingdom, just like she came into a kingdom, didn't she? You've come into the kingdom of God. Are you here by accident? Do you have a purpose and plan in God's kingdom? Listen, you do. And the things that we're going to begin to see, because we're expecting for the... I believe this is a time of preparation that we're going through to be ready for the glory of God and the tremendous manifestations that are going to come. I told you about the visions that have been seen by numbers of people. I wish I could tell you all of them. I can't even remember all of them. But people have told me about seeing people crowding to get into the doors of the church here. Some of them were not even people that were closely tied to the church, but they've seen that. They've seen people coming here. Coming here. What are they coming for? For Jesus and the glory of God. They want the glory and the manifestation that only Jesus can manifest. They want the power and the anointing that is in Him. And He says, the works that I do shall you do also. These works and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Oh, let the glory of God fall upon us now, Father. Amen? God's gifts and callings are without repentance, is what He says. They don't. He says, I never change when I call someone. He said that about Israel. He said, I called Israel. And see, a lot of us didn't figure that out for a long time. We thought Israel had blown it and they were kicked out. But you know, all we had to do was read Romans. Because God says Israel is going to get saved. They're going to look on Him whom they pierced, and they will mourn for Him as an only son. And He says, that's because my gifts and my callings are without repentance. What I said about Israel has never changed. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The only thing that can stop God's plan, somebody tell me what it is.
Yourself.
What?
Yourself.
Yourself. Say, I cannot be defeated. Say, I will not quit. If you mean that, I want you to know you're headed right into the middle of the glory. Because you see, all of the people saw the glory, but Moses entered into the cloud. Are you ready to enter in? Jesus entered right into the things of God, didn't He? When He was here on this earth... You see, we look at Him the wrong way sometimes. We think, well, He was the Son of God. You know, all of this just had to happen. No, no, no. That's why the devil tempted Him. He was trying to stop it. That's why the devil tried to kill Him. He was trying to stop it. The only one that could have stopped it was Jesus. And He actually said that. Did you know that? He said, if I wanted to, I could call 10 legions of angels right now. Stop the whole thing. Stop the whole plan of God. But He said, I won't do it because I've set my heart upon the will of God and the plans and purposes of God. Mike, you're the only one that can stop it, but you're not going to, are you? You're going to let it come in full bore. Amen. There's good things coming for you, my brother. Good things. I mean, the things you've learned, things that are deep inside of you are going to begin to come forth. They're going to start coming forth. And when they do, I'll tell you, it's going to be just like this. It's going to be like you get outside and you're looking at yourself saying, that's me over there. I'm doing that. It's going to seem that unreal to you when it begins to happen, but it's going to start to become a normal thing in your life. You're going to have an effect on people. God's given you a group of people that, you know, you're kind of, you've got a certain group that know you and know you well. You're going to have an effect upon them. And I want you to just yield to it. Don't get under pressure now and start thinking, I got to do something. Because when you start doing that, you'll mess up. But if you'll just let this begin to happen, let this begin to come in you, you're going to see powerful manifestations. Mighty things are going to begin to happen in your life. And, you know, don't even worry about how they'll happen. I didn't worry about the results the other day. I just laid my hands on the guy because I know God will take care of the results. Amen? I know He'll do it. And, you know, when we see some of these manifestations of glory, a lot of times we look at that and we say, well, I wouldn't know how to do that. Well, of course you wouldn't. Who knows how to manifest the glory of God? Nobody. But that's why we're talking about reverence. To have a respect and an awe for the things of God. To begin to put ourselves into a place where God can just say, oh, there you are, my son. Here, I'll set you right there. Now, go for it. And you'll do it. You'll do it. You won't even know how you're doing it. It'll just, you know, how many of you speak in tongues? Could I see all those that speak in tongues? You know, I'm going to tell you something. How do you do it? I don't know how I do it. I open my mouth and I don't know how I do it. You don't know how you do it, do you? And so sometimes because we don't know how, we stop. Don't stop. That's a big, big weapon inside of you, brother. Start speaking. Those of you that don't, seek for it. Really. Begin to just yield yourself to God and let Him fill you with all the fullness of God. Don't be satisfied. I don't care how many years. Listen, you know, God's a God that specializes in hard cases. He sent me a number of people around here that say, I've had a bunch of people pray for me. We had a young ministry couple come in here one time. He said, I've had people pray for me everywhere. And he says, I'm kind of afraid to even let anybody pray for me anymore for the Holy Spirit. He said, I want it so bad, but he says, I'm just kind of afraid to do it. And I said, we were actually sitting over at the Dairy King when he told me this. We'd stopped over there after service. I said, how would you like to go back to the office for a while and just sit back over at the church? We went over there and got to talking and just having a good time. And he sat down on the floor and his wife was sitting beside him up on the sofa. And pretty soon I said, now when we pray and ask God again, I said, I just want you to begin to worship Him and get the pressure off of you. See, when you get a lot of pressure on you, it's hard. Just get the pressure off of you. And he sat down there, and I'll tell you, for the first time in his life, before he spoke in tongues, he began to laugh in the Spirit. He began to laugh, and laughter came out of him, just rolled out of him. And his wife began to speak in tongues right away. They come back here about every year. They'll be in here one of these times. He's an Iraqi national. He's a citizen of the United States now, but his dad is still an Iraqi citizen. He actually went over there and spent time there, and now he's ministering. He graduated out of seminary, and he ministers to Muslims in Detroit. One of the big strongholds in the United States is in Detroit, and he's ministering to them. You see, God's glory comes in a lot of different forms, but we need to expect it to come. Let's get out of that limited involvement attitude that we got. I don't want to get in too deep. Listen, I want to get in so deep, I don't know if I can get back out. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to get in so deep that it'd be all right if the Lord just took me on home. You know what I'm saying? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Let's get in there a long way. Maureen Magnuson, who comes here quite often, will tell those stories about times that she just gets so deep in the Spirit. Listen, I've helped carry her out of services, so I know she gets in pretty deep, you know. But we want to be a people where God manifests in every area of our lives, don't we? I believe people are going to want to start stopping in here just to see what's going on. Just to see the power and the presence of God. Why would bring the power here? Just having you here. Just having me here. Just having us in the place, I believe it. I believe it's time. I want it all. Power, love, anointing. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. He says, but now the Lord says, this must stop. I took this out of the I can't think which one it is. CEV, I think is what it is. But now the Lord says, this must stop. I will honor those who honor me, but I will dishonor those who ignore me. Doesn't say that up there. Or does it say the same thing up there? Yeah. It says, despise or lightly esteemed. Yeah, despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I like this better. Those that ignore me. You know, it's easy. You get to be a Christian and sometimes you think, oh, I would never do that. But we do ignore him. We treat him like, you know, he's just something we can get into when we want to, but he can leave us alone when we don't want him to. But that's not the way it's supposed to work. God will honor those that will honor him. And what's the greatest honor that you've ever experienced with God? I mean, I know your salvation is the greatest honor, but what is that? How do you feel honored? When do you feel honored by the Lord? When he speaks. Or manifests his presence to you in any way, right? You just feel honored. Why? It's just like him saying, my child, my son, my daughter. Listen, that's good, isn't it? That honors us. That honors us. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we want. That's what we want. I talked about some of the ignorance and disobedience and rebellion that stopped the moves of God. You can think of all of them. You know, you look back at Nadab and Abihu, that's just one of them. But, you know, Saul had a tremendous move of God going in his life as he was king. Tremendous move, but what happened? Saul was a big man, but he got too big for his britches, didn't he? He began to move on beyond God again, didn't he? And what happened? Not only did he find defeat, but he lost the kingdom. And, you know, you can look at others. Even the way the ark was moved with presumption when David moved the ark that time. Put it on a new wagon. That'd be like taking a brand new Cadillac and putting the Ark of the Covenant in it. Boy, that'd honor God, wouldn't it? God's not honored by the Ark of the Covenant. He wants the Ark of the Covenant on his priests. And so someone lost his life for touching the ark. You remember that? A move of God. It started that good. It got away from God. Modern day demonstrations. How many of you know there have been some real powerful modern day revival? Listen, you may have heard bad things about what went down and on in, where's that place in Florida? Which one? Lakeland, Florida, the latest. There were bad things that went on there, but you know what? It started good. It started good. I know some people that were there at the beginning. It started good. Somebody said, yeah, but this guy, you know, he was just so unlikely. Well, I want to tell you, God's going to start using unlikely people. You might as well get ready. Because I may be one of the most unlikely people you know, and I plan to be used. Amen? Amen. I plan to be used. Do you?
Yes.
It's what we're supposed to plan for. Modern day moves have been stopped just as much as the old ones were. Real things happen and people get astray. Start trying to move things in the flesh. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Do you see reverence for God's commandments? And let me ask you this. Do you have reverence for His commandments? That's why we read Psalm 119 at this time of year. Because it's all about God's Word. All about His commandments. I love His Torah. Do you? Say, I love. I love your Torah, God. I tell you what, His teaching and instruction is what will keep you strong. And it will make your ministry limitless. It's the Word of God that'll do it. You get the Spirit of God moving along with the Word of God, you've got the full package. And that's what we're headed for. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, I've gone as far as I can today. I didn't say I've gone as far as we should, but I've gone as far as I can today. We need to stop, so I'm going to have you stand up, but we're going to be talking about the glory. And I'm preparing myself for it. Will you work with me on it? Will you prepare yourself for the glory of God? Will you lay your schedules aside? Will you lay your things aside and begin to put the things of God in first place? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Father God, we worship You and honor You today. And Lord, we pray for every person that's in this house today. Lord, let the glory of God manifest to everyone that's here. Whether they're in this room, whether they're downstairs, wherever they are, let Your power and Your glory manifest in Your people today. We thank You for it, Father, and we give You praise and honor today that You are manifesting Yourself to us in so many different ways. We believe You for it. We're trusting You for it. We so want to see You and the power of Your resurrection. We want to know You. We want to know You as only You can reveal Yourself to us, Lord. We thank You for it. We praise You for it. We give You glory. I release you today from any bondage, from any hindrance, from any distraction in your life. I release you right now in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over your life, over every person in this house today. I say that you are set free right now from everything that would hinder or hurt you, that you are right now in the middle of God's will. Now you stand there and take it and receive it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yivareka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panav aleka v'kenecha. Yisa Adonai panav aleka v'yasem lecha. Shalom. And now Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance on you and give you His shalom. In the name of Yeshua. And everyone that received it said, Amen. Amen. Praise God.